Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Schools across the Commonwealth are facing such a tough decision. What is the best way to start school again in September? Remote? All in person? Some combination of the two? And that translates into painful choices for students and parents, too. So for the rest of the show, we want to take your calls on schools and reopening. What's your district doing? Are you concerned? Do you want them to do what they're doing? Do you want your kids in school, or do you feel everyone needs to be home? What investments need to be made for you to feel safe, for the schools to go back to the way they sort of used to be? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools. But first, we want to turn to WBUR education editor Kathleen McNerney for a quick rundown of where schools are. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Kathleen.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So we are unbelievably now in the second week of August already. When do schools have to decide on their fall plans?
So the state set a deadline of August 14th for the districts to submit their final plans. So you've probably been noticing a lot of school committee meetings and votes happening over the last couple of weeks while districts finalize what the fall is going to look like.
And I hear you've been talking to parents and teachers. And what are you hearing from them? And do they think the timing's too late, or are they patiently waiting?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stress. And I think it's on both sides, to be honest, on all sides, really, from the committees that are the reopening committees and districts that are tasked with making these decisions and weighing this, as well as the parents and the teachers who are trying to plan. And I think everyone wants to figure out how to meet everybody's needs. And there's no easy answer in a time like this. One thing that came up as you know, I've been working on talking to a lot of different parents from different communities about their perspectives, and trust and communication seems to be playing a large role. Rich Perona of Lexington, I spoke with, he has an incoming kindergartner and a second grader, 5 and 7 years old. And really for him, he wants parents to have a choice to go fully back in person. Here he is.
Trust is completely gone. I think they have to do way better for the amount of taxes we pay here. So, you know, the teachers are here for a reason, to teach. I hope they can. I hope they do it safely. But at the same time, you got to go back. You got to do your job.
And at the same time, the teachers I've talked to, they do want to do their job. At the same time, you know, but there's a public health crisis, and information is still emerging. Our understanding of the virus, how it spreads, who's affected by it, and how, who's at risk. Who's at increased risk, who's at lower risk, is hard to parse through. The Lexington School Committee votes tomorrow night. I will note that they did 4 different surveys of the parents, and it's not uncommon. A lot of these districts have been putting out surveys to try to get a bead on what parents are feeling when it comes to reopening, what their needs are, what didn't work about remote learning that they could make better. And in the most recent survey, Lexington parents were asked about their return. About 63%, the district tells me, showed an interest in remote and hybrid models, and about 37% of families wanted a full return to school.
Now, before we bring the superintendent in, I want to have her join us soon. Can you kind of give us the breakdown, Kathleen, of how school plans are panning out? How varied are they? Are the vast majority hybrid? You know, what are we looking at?
They are varied, and I would say the vast majority seem to be falling under the hybrid model. The latest data that our team got from the state on Friday afternoon was showing that the by and large, the majority was going into hybrid with a few remote and a few in person. And what I saw, you know, we started going through a handful, about 2 dozen of these plans. And there are some districts that are trying to really give priority to full in-person learning for the students they feel need it the most. That would be younger kids. It's really hard to teach reading, for example, on Zoom or in a Google Classroom. And that would be kids with special education needs. A lot of districts are giving parents choice, but trying to give those students an option to come into the classroom to try to get those services that they really need that can't be delivered remotely, can't be delivered remotely well if they can be. But we are seeing most hybrid. A few have started to, even though they said hybrid, they're starting to switch to all remote. I think it's in line with what we're seeing of in terms of COVID cases. It really is community by community. But a lot of teachers that I talked to on Friday and over the weekend said, you know, the governor said that groups should be scaled back from 100 to only allowing 50 people to meet in groups. So some teachers and parents were like, well, if that's scaling back, shouldn't schools, because you're talking about getting hundreds of students and teachers into these buildings at a time. So it's still really, really in flux.
So WBUR Education Editor Kathleen McNerney. I'm actually going to ask you to stand by. I want to keep you here, but I'm going to add another voice to our conversation. Joining us now on the line is the superintendent of Chelsea Public Schools, Almi Abeta. Dr. Abeta, Superintendent Abeta, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I should note that we were also going to have Boston Public Schools Superintendent Brenda Caselius with us for this conversation, but they had to cancel last minute this afternoon, so we'll see if that superintendent can join us another day this week. And listeners, call in. What is your district doing? What questions do you have for a superintendent about how these decisions are getting made? And how about the timing? Do you have the information you need in time to make the plans you need to make? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So superintendent, according to the town-by-town data, Chelsea is still a hotspot in Massachusetts, number one out of 351 cities and towns. So let me just ask, how are you? How are things in Chelsea?
Well, right now, we complied with the Department of Education. We submitted our preliminary plans to do full in-person, hybrid, and then remote learning. As we've been monitoring our data, as you just said, we have an infection rate of 4.93% positivity rate as of August 5th. So in light of that information, we have decided that we would start, we're going to do remote learning in the fall with the phase in. And for us in Chelsea, we really have to monitor the percent positivity rate before we can open schools safely.
And your positivity rate there in Chelsea is just below 5%, correct?
Correct.
And we have heard from a number of infectious disease physicians here on the show over the last month or so that that 5% number is a really critical number to stay below in terms of the spread of the pandemic. Are you feeling a great deal of anxiety in your community? Are you getting it from teachers? Are you getting it from parents and families?
I believe as we've met with our families, I had a parent advisory who was working with me on the reopening of school plans. And I will say our parents were not knocking down the doors for us to reopen schools. At least 47% have already, when we put out the option, chosen online remote learning option. And what I found when we've been at the Chelsea Collaborative working with our families and listening is that because our families have had such close contact with COVID-19, whether it be a mother, whether it be an uncle, a grandma, a grandfather, the neighbor next door, because people have experienced it, they are not as, they're afraid. And they're not really wanting to be around a lot of people right now. So there is a hesitation. And so what we're finding is when I met with my parent advisory, I put the question, how are you willing to send your student to school? One parent was like, not until there's a vaccine. I was in the ICU for 11 weeks with COVID-19, and I'm not sending my child to school. So,
you know,
you hear
a story like that, Superintendent. Thank you. You hear a story like that, and it is gut-wrenching. I mean, that is where the rubber meets the road of the level of infection and risk of this disease. And then there's this other question that constantly hovers out there as well, which is the long-term implications for learning, mm-hmm. for social-emotional Absolutely. Well-being, for access to other supports that we know young people get in a way when they are in person in the classroom that they don't get necessarily, mm-hmm. at least otherwise. How does one do that calculus? I mean, is it just 100% we can't afford infection transmission? Is there some tipping point? And how do you even, as a leader, begin to think about that?
Well, I was pushing to do in-person, hybrid, and remote learning option for a while, and until our positivity rate hit 4.9%, I just knew at that threshold, it was time for me to say, oh, it's time we have to do remote learning at this juncture. So, my school committee is voting actually tomorrow, and I've had to shift course and direction and say and propose a new recommendation that we have to start in the fall. We will monitor the positivity rate, and I'm hoping maybe in October we can open. But even as we are in full remote learning, because I am concerned about our students, and I know that for many of our students, school is a safe place. And so we're going to experiment with maybe some centers for online learning where students can come and still do their remote learning, but come to the middle and the high schools and do the remote learning physically there if possible. We'll be socially distanced because some of our students need a place that's safe where we can plug them into services if they need it. So I'm looking at that even during the full remote learning. I do think it's important that we have heavy, heavy family and community engagement right up front. I want for every student to be able to meet his or her teacher, have a conversation, build those relationships, whether they can come in one-on-one and meet with a teacher or whether it's remote. We want to build those relationships up front. And we also learned a lot in the spring about remote learning, and we learned that we need to have more structure and we have to have more rigor and that we need to be more organized about it. But the key thing that we've learned is that we have to communicate better with our families and with the teacher. So there needs to be more of an outreach.
So, Superintendent Abeda, I want to turn back to Education Editor Kathleen McNerney. Kathleen, in just 60 seconds or so, how does what you're hearing from the superintendent compare with data and feedback you've heard from other school districts?
I think it's very much in line. I think that's the core tension and the reason why the state and several pediatricians groups have been pushing or encouraging a full in-person return is because they know what's at stake. Not every kid has a safe home to be in. And I think they're worried about the kids that are going missing. They're worried about the kids and families that aren't able to get food. But it also has to be a full community response. Schools can't do all of this without larger supports.
And Superintendent, I want to turn back to you for a minute. As a former principal in the Boston Public Schools, as an educator, as a superintendent, do you have any good options here, and how are you feeling about the decisions that you are facing with the clock ticking now?
The options are, we don't really, as superintendents, we don't have really any great options right now. But I think at the end of the day, we have to put students and families first and the safety of our staff first. And so when you look at it that way, for me, the decision is very easy once we peaked at 4.9%. And so then the next decision that I have to make and with my team, and I have an amazing leadership team, is, okay, how do we ensure we reach out to our families, that we have as rigorous remote learning as possible for every student, every day, in every classroom in the remote learning environment? I will say we did.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to have to stop you there or we're going to run out of show. So that is Almi Albeda, Superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools, and WBUR Education Editor Kathleen McNerney. Thanks to both of you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.